Accession number 10686, real one.
Sailor Hughes with us, and he was a sailor. never tidily dressed him, but he did all manner of things. He never got any recognition at all for nothing. I remember on the just after that thing, well, boys, you know, when after the tanks and after that thing, we were on the front there and to kind of trenches, and we built up all that tea trench, you see, went up the burn along here, and then there'd be a space between them and another one, three sword post, eagle post, and we were all in this trench, and all of a sudden sailor used it. The jellies are on the wire, and he dragged up, you know, one of the things, the aprons, they had bombs in hanging in the trenches, a villain's hanging head, and he jumped up and he threw a couple of bombs into over the wire. We thought he'd gone scatty, and he threw one, two, three, you know, these bombs, and they burst, and then he rushed out, and he dragged a German in, into the trench, because the German was taken down. Immediately there was a patrol sent out, you see. They found the German had been cutting our wire, and they had tapes, white tapes led up to where they were cutting it, you see,
so
laid out.
See, at night to come in.
At night, you see. And the sailor Hughes took this fella down to the officer's dugout. They were all in dugouts, of course, the officer. And he took a watch off this man. This man had come from the Russian front, and he got this watch off a Russian officer, said a colonel, officer, colonel anyway, or an officer. And you know this, he got 7 days CB for taking this watch off this man. The man gave it him, I suppose, in gratitude for not being killed. And lo and behold, the officer, who never got out of his dugout, got a military cross. He never got out of the dugout. Poor old the lad nearly got 7 days for taking, as if any soldier wouldn't take a watch if a jerry offered him it.
Yeah. Whereabouts were you when you were taken prisoner?
Lebassy, on the Lebassy front.
Whereabouts is that? Somewhere near Belgium, or?
Yes, well, it's on the coal mine area, you know, Lebassy, the town behind. There'd been a big battle there. And OBL, the next sector to ours was manned by the Portuguese. And the Germans, very commonly, you see, they absolutely bombarded these poor Portuguese, you know, absolutely made, flattened the trenches and everything round them. And these Portuguese had been belly aching for a leave. They'd never been back to Portugal for about 12 or 18 months, you see, and they were all really shattered. And I don't say they weren't good soldiers or anything like that, because they threw, like, you know, the old tail, everything, ammunition, limbers and everything, they used to say, throwing them over, you know, and then they started on us, you see, when it was away. These trenches weren't trenches at all, they were breastworks, because you couldn't dig far down for water, you see. And there were only breastworks made with these kind of branch twig, you know, woven fencing, you see, and then sandbagged and that, and there was no dugouts, so just, you know, just got behind anyway. It was a very foggy morning, this very misty morning, and they spent a lot of this gas over, you know, in shells, and plop, plop. We were one time, we used to think these were duds. We saw the Germans had sent a lot of dud stuff over to you. And you couldn't smell the gas very well, because with the showers bursting and one thing and another, we got no gas alarm. Anyway, the next thing we saw, and the Portuguese, you know, had field grey, their uniform.
Similar to the Germans.
More or less same as the Germans, you see. that we saw these fellas coming up the communication trench. You see, we thought they were the Portuguese at first, and then we realised, well, we'd be smashed, bashed, and I had a Lewis gun. It was been covered two or three times with dirt and thing, and I went to grab this Lewis gun. I still don't know, but whether a German rushed at me with his bayonet, you know, like a rifle, and missed me and knocked me over, because I got knocked over on my face, you see. And when I got up, of course, I said, "Oh, shoot, no, I wasn't gonna give my life away." He'd given my revolver. He had that. No more use to me. And kept me equipment on for a bit. And then the next lot of Germans that we met, they took your equipment off you. But I managed to keep me. I don't know what made me do it, but I put a tin of bully beef in my pocket and out of my iron rations, you know, the little bag. We had an iron ration, little canvas bag, or calico bag, with a little tin of tea and sugar and a small tin of corned beef, you know, well, 12 ounce, and also two biscuits after the iron rations. But we'd only eaten one order, and I've kept those in this little bag, and thank goodness I did it. Oh, well, we went down this trench, and still, of course, our people then were Bethune was the town behind us.
Oh, yes.
Bethune.
Yes, yes.
That was the mining town, and La Bassi was in the Germans, you see. That was in the Germans.
What year was this?
1918.
Quite late on, yeah.
Well, late on. After the big rush on, you know, when the backs to the wall, you know, Dougie Hay. Anyway, we got into La Bassi, and the first thing I saw were these German limbers coming along, only about 20 of us together, like herded together, you see. The German soldiers, you know, following them. A poor old fellow named Mick Durkin, out of the Liverpool Mounted Police. He'd come out of the Lanzhou he'd been in, and then they'd been the place was Salome, near Marcullis, and there was about 40 or 50 then. Some King Edward's horse from Jamaica. They'd been caught behind the Portuguese line, and there's a lot of Portuguese there. In fact, there was a Portuguese general in them. So he was handing cigars round to these Germans. There's us. The German, we could talk English, he said, "Come on," he said, "as soon as you get all this wood, all these wagons unloaded, you've got to Germany." Oh, we thought, that's good. Out of the way, you know. Shells. Started unloading these wagons. Got all unloaded. And the next thing, had to make a post. To put the post in the field. Barbed wire and made a cage for ourselves. We only the house about a half a bottle of camp coffee. The Germans had seen that, but they didn't know what it was, you see, so I put it in my pocket. And the German officer who bound me wound up, you know, and said, "Are you getting good food?" You see, cheeky like, you know, he said, "Well, it's not as good as they give the prisoners in jail at home, skilly." "What?" He said, "You don't tell me you're getting better food in England." And he went out, and we came back, and he said, I could understand him. I don't know why, how I understood him, really, but he shouted in through the window, give me my walking stick, stick, see? I give it to him. He said, oh, you too. Oh, sprach in the Deutsch. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. He's back in the Deutsch. Just go along. We went along then. I was in gangs then.
What month was this?
April.
So it was April to November.
Yeah. Lucky we didn't have to spend the winter with them. But we went along the roads there and used to see there's some Suffolk with us. Some of them being captured. So they've been drafted into us as Suffolk. They knew all the art of the country life, you see. And these fellows just scrounge in the ditches there and get watercress, catch blackbirds. And there was one. Well, I wouldn't be as old to maybe, wouldn't be that old. 30 or 40, and he used to catch these blackbirds, how he caught them, I don't know. And he used to dress them, he just looked like little chickens, and put them on a string and over the fire, let them whiz round, cook them, and eat this watercress. I couldn't tell watercress from anything else, you see. Eventually, as we moved off, you know. Well, one night, because they had hordes of Italians there, prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Hordes, and poor things, they treated them terribly. Sticks, they never took any rifles with them, picked up sticks, they whacked them. Oh, unmercifully, you know, and they looked like monkeys. Didn't do that to us, I will say that. Always had rifles and one thing or another to us. They took us in a lorry one night though, right up to the field artillery, and we had to unload shells off this lorry. I tell you, they got very few shells. We were dumping them into a pond there as we walked along, of about four shells, only small, you know, like our 18 pounder.
Yeah.
They're in basket work. You see, you take four or two and throw three of them away and carry one up and
nick, sir. One!
He jumped out the top of his voice, this German. Anyway, they started shelling us, the British, you see. I don't know whether they heard us or how we were created. The next thing, we were all hustled onto this wagon. They didn't wait, the guard wouldn't wait, they just run the wagon, and off we went, left the shell there. We weren't supposed to do this, but it's no good arguing against machine guns and rifles.
Did you go further back into Belgium?
No, we always
stayed somewhere near the front.
Oh, we always got wounded in the leg. And I've got a wounded in the leg, and seven men got killed at Salome Church, because they brought a big Austin howitzer, huge thing, and it had a shell. You had to have a little hoist to lift it in, to put it in, and then the man put big thing over his ear. And they got a long cord, and they got well away from this, and pulled it, you see, and that thing went, ooh, turn, you could see it turn over in the air, and up you, about 17 miles away to Lillers. And we were in the church, buried in this church, inside the church, you see, sleeping amongst the pews or anywhere you like, they didn't care. And, of course, naturally, the British spotted this gun, and the next thing was they started shelling it, and the shell landed in this church, and it killed seven men.
heart of the 8th Irish, well, two of them were. And I took the prayer books, took the pay books of one man who I helped to carry his body out to the old burial ground. Took the boots off the Germans, parceled them off, and the stockings, socks. They never had socks, the Germans. They had foot cloths and a piece of rag wrapped on their feet. And this pay book, you see, I took it all. Well, it identified a man, and his identification is around his neck. They were just put in this trench and buried. They did put a cross up, so many British soldiers.
No names. No names on it.
Job, just like that. Another job we had there was you to get a kind of a coffin on a stretcher. You know, four men would have to carry this. And they go out onto this battlefield where they'd be and pick all the German remains of the dead Germans. They buried their Germans in the Basin. They had a proper cemetery with stones.
Yeah.
You used to have to bring them back. I was only on it one day. That was one of the posh jobs because you could scrounge around there and pick things up.
Yeah.
And also, when you came back,
suppose nobody fired on you doing that, or did they?
No, well, it was well behind, you know.
Oh, yes.
Where, like,
where it passed over.
You see, where they'd been killed going over the top
of
the world. No, they never fired. Well, we were well out of the sight of the gun thing. But they got a glass of snaps on that thing.
Yeah.
I remember the man who was in charge of, like, where they put these bodies, you know, wrapped them around in a kind of a tarpaulin paper. It wasn't a blanket like our people. And he used to have a dictionary there, English dictionary. He used to be saying, reading all the things he could eat. Plum pudding. Roast turkey. Some of us laugh at them, you know. Moved off from there. It was like the Germans were getting beaten back. Because the morning I was taken prisoner, they never got any further than the old British line. And our people took 300 prisoners, the British 5th Kings, German prisoners.
Was it in a counterattack, or?
Well, they came up against, you see, we were in the breast which we were only just forward, kind of out, you know. The main body of the battalion was in these.
The main trenches.
Main trenches, they were really very well made. They were made out of houses and cellars. They were all boarded up. They gave them a hammering. They gave the Germans a terrible hammering there, but these fellows wanted to know, thought it was a war for us, but passed us.
Oh.
And I'm told by the fellows that they mooned them down. Told that our quartermaster sergeant, poor fellow, he was a decent chap as well. He got killed. He just about got to this place, and when he got killed, hit in the head and died. And his body lay out. But they made a mess at the back of that place, I believe.
The shelling.
Yeah. Into Perthun and Bear, a place called Bear. Well, they had a few places there. Kylo Keep, they were kind of little fortresses. That was surrounded and taken by the Germans twice, and twice taken back. Farmyard deserted, and a couple of old sentries on the
Belgium?
Oh, we should only go out having a good time here, you know, and walk down. And the German never said any to us. We walked down and went in, and the stamina was full of German soldiers. When they saw us, they all jumped out. They thought they must have thought we
come in.
Come in. And we jumped out and all. Well, the following morning we got released, it just said the war, kaput, you know, alles kaput, everything finished. And we walked down the road. Actually, we were walking along the road, that's right. We were coming along the road and they stopped. And they tried to we met a whole lot of other prisoners coming down the road. And they tried to tell us to pull these, we were pulling these old little bits of lorries, they were, like, you know, little thing. We pulled, they had no horse, we had to pull them along the road. They had all kind of plunder that they'd taken out of houses, sewing machines, and, you know, things they'd stolen out of the houses. And always they tried to tell us to pull it into a field. It was too weak, it was too, or three Gordon Highlanders. One, they were the band, they'd been in the band, they were like regular soldiers. Or they'd got hold of a wagon one side and tipped the whole lot of it into the ditch. All that stuff as well. So we walked down the road and we came to towards a half. We went into a village there and that was all, I don't know where they got them from. Liberation of the by the British Britannica, or Britannica, you know, French, all put up on that Union Jack flying, and villagers bringing us into their stamina and bringing bottles of champagne out, and one fella dancing on the counter fell off it. And fairly, you know, and then we walked down the road, and who did I meet but the intelligence officer out of the 5th Kings.
Your own intelligence officer?
Yes. I knew him, a fellow from Rothsay. Forget his name. Put in the Scots name, Roberts or Edwards or something like that. And he was on a horse, of course. And, he'd be a horse, you know. Hindenburg Light Infantry. And we went down, and then we're all lined up. There's about, perhaps 12 or 18 of us. Oh, no, many more. And Colonel Shute came along, certainly very pleased to see us all back again, you know. And I had a pair of sabots, you know, wooden shoes, those wooden
Belgium
shoes tied with string, you know. But giving me boots away for the loaf of bread. I had a pair of these sabots, you see, you could walk in them. And he said, would you like to come on to Brussels? I said, oh, this, I you never know what had happened. Then he got a new rig out, you know, a bath, a new rig out, and went to the old company and saw what was the remains of them, very few, and heard about, you know, Toner and all the people that had been killed, and how the trouble had been with the flu, you know. And then the next morning we were put on a Red Cross train and taken into down to Dover by boat, you know, from, I think it was Boulogne we went to. I know we went to Dover, and we got up into a camp there, and again they tried to give us more clothes. I got another set of underclothes from them, and £2 on my pay book. You know, they paid you that maximum £2. Well, they must have ordered lots of money, you see. There'd be prisoners of war all that
time.
But the maximum they give you £2.
Anyway, we kind of got all those packed cigarettes lined up. I don't know exactly who it was, but some notable came round and welcomed us back to England. I don't know whether he did this to every lot, but he did to us anyway. And we were on the train for home.
Did your parents knew you were a prisoner for?
Oh yes, by a long while afterwards.
Long while afterwards. Yeah.
I'm not spoofing, but the night before I was taken prisoner of war, I was in this kind of an elephant dugout, we call them, you know, like shelter, just a halfway thing, and about three of you could lie down in it. And I dreamt I was at home on the Moss Lane, you know, and out of the shop, you went up the stairs, you see, and you could see these stairs into the shop.